Hello there. Welcome to Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. This is Connor, one of your co-hosts speaking. Before we get into today's episode with the Queen, Leslie Margarita, I need to tell you about our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. You're probably wondering to yourself, what's a Patreon? Well, it's our bonus content platform, which we've lovingly called Drama Plus because it's drama plus even more, plus bonus episodes. Plus, you get added to our close friends. Plus, you're giving us $5 so that we can keep bringing you these incredible interviews with stars you know and love, twin talks where Dylan and I chat with each other, and all the content that you're just craving for your theatrical and pop culture mindscape. I don't know if that made any sense, but it makes sense to me. So go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, contribute $5, or I think you could even contribute more if you want today, and become a Drama Plus family member. All right. You're going to love Leslie Margarita. We loved her. You're going to be even more obsessed than you already are. So get ready and enjoy the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I am so happy about today's guest in this episode. I'm truly like bursting at the seams with excitement. We've wanted her for a long time.
Oh my gosh, I know. I feel like when we first moved to New York, there was so much going on. There was so much excitement. And she was like this voice of the people, of the community.
Wait, oh my God. I just had a memory that popped into my head. One time I walked by her on the street and I said out loud, Queen Leslie, I love you. And she said back, I love you too.
Oh my
It
God.
reminded me of a story that I'd heard once about somebody seeing RuPaul on the street and saying, Ru, I love
Yes.
you. And Ru said, I love you too. And wow, is she our RuPaul?
I mean, maybe there's the queen aspect that we've both got going on here.
Oh my goodness.
Beloved by the masses, anointed by few. But listen, speaking of Drag Race, I have to just say, when I was visiting you in the Big Apple recently, we went to a very fun Drag Race viewing party in Hell's Kitchen at one of our favorite bars, Hardware. And it was so much fun. I need to just ask you, who were you loving on this season in general? Season 17, believe it or not.
Lexi Love is giving incredible drag. She's giving incredible story. She
Oh,
is
yeah.
so compelling and watchable on screen. She makes hilarious faces. I feel like she's getting that edit where they're like, okay, we want you to root for her. But she's also getting in the muck and the mess. Like when she popped off about the tarp
I
drama,
know.
that was
I know.
amazing. I love that on TV. I want to see all of it.
I kind of wish that drama would have stuck around a little bit longer. It was probably
Oh,
resolved
yeah.
off screen shortly thereafter. And
She comes in the next day. She's like, you know, I thought about it last night. You're like, oh yeah, a producer definitely told you, like,
work it
you
out.
know, think this through. Think this through. Don't you want to win?
I love Sam Starr so much. I think that she just reminds me so much of Trinity the Tuck. I think actually just Trinity now. I actually don't remember. But
Trinity. Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
it was originally Trinity Taylor. Then it was Trinity the Tuck Taylor. And then actually, I think it's just Trinity the Tuck. Anyways, that pageanty, southern, sassy. I just love that
She's
so
great.
much. And I kind of gagged for that trash bag dress that she made in the
She's got
ball.
it. She's got it all. Now, Joella was great television. I'm sad she's no longer around.
You pour some out for Joella. No spoilers, obviously, but it's been
It's
enough
been enough.
weeks.
Oh man, she was great. Wow. I wish the Badonkadonk tank could have saved her, but
I know. There's always all stars.
now, Dylan, our RuPaul is here. Leslie
All
Margarita,
right.
our guest. We don't normally say their name before
I know, but
we do
everyone
it.
knows. Everyone knows who
They
she
read the
is.
title, they saw the picture. But would you please do us the honors of reading the bio and bringing her on in?
Yes, our guest today, as we've said many times already, is the Queen. This triple threat currently slays as Tessie Tura in the revival of Gypsy on Broadway. She won the Laurence Olivier Award for her West End debut in Zorro the Musical and originated the roles of Mrs. Wormwood in Matilda and Mona Kent in Dames at Sea on Broadway. During her time in Matilda, she solidified herself as a beloved and imperative icon within the theater community, bringing her sense of humor invaluable wisdom and talent to the masses, particularly through her vlogs. Other fabulous stage appearances include Nine, Emoji Land as Princess, The Who's Holiday, The Flamingo Kid, Little Shop of Horrors, Showboat, Guys and Dolls, Kiss Me Kate, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Damn Yankees, and so much more. Her work has garnered her Drama Desk, Lucille Lortel, and Off-Broadway Alliance Award nominations. She made her mark on television in Most Likely 2, opposite Yvette Nicole Brown, Younger, Homeland, Instinct, 7 Seconds, Transparent, and The Crew. On film, you've seen her in The Many Saints of Newark, Opening Night, and more. She's a voiceover artist, author, and creator of multiple solo shows, including Rule Your Kingdom, for which an album was recorded and is streaming now. We are so gagged. I know you are too. Please welcome to Drama, Leslie Margarita.
I don't know if you could see me. I was gagging. I hate hearing credits. It's okay.
Now, do you remember me saying, Queen Leslie, I love you, when I walked by you on the street maybe 8 years ago?
I feel like that's happened to me a lot. So I probably do. I'm glad I was like, yay, love you, because I always try and like, but usually it's like when I'm picking up dog poop or something. I'm like, ah, I love you. And as I'm picking it up. So no, I love that. I love that people like see me and say stuff, because I'm like, who? No one knows who I am. And so when somebody says that, I'm like, yeah.
Well, we're so happy to have you on the show today. Before we get into our first question, I need to know, are you a RuPaul's Drag Race fan?
Yes, but I'm not caught up on this season.
Okay, you're busy.
It's all in my queue. I'm like not totally caught up, but yes, I'm a huge fan. Love it. Love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I remember now, you were on Bianca Del Rio's podcast
years
ago. Oh my God, dynamic chat.
My favorite. Yeah. We actually want to do a show together, so I'm hoping that will happen.
As sisters what could it be?
It's a musical, an existing musical, but I can't say anything because we're really trying to make it happen.
Oh, shoot, ooh, shoot. Ooh. Oh, I love
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. That's fun. Good vibes into the universe for that, because I will be buying my ticket promptly.
Oh my gosh. Well, Leslie, we always like to check in with our guests. We're wondering, are you well?
For the most part, yes. But I'm locked out of my TikTok, and I love TikTok, and I can't get in to my TikTok. Somebody tried to hack me. And then they locked. It was just a whole thing. So I don't know if I'll ever get back into my TikTok. And so I'm not well in that regard. But everything else is fine.
It is such a tragedy. I know. The phantom, like, I'm going to scroll on TikTok sensation has been crazy for all of us, but especially you being like the victim of a hacking.
And I reported it and I was like, it's okay now. I just would like to change. Like, they gave me like a weird username. And I was like, can I just change it before, you know, the 7 days or whatever that they make you wait. And then they were like, understood, completely locked out. And I was like, no.
Oh my God.
And I literally have sent, like, I'm bombarding them with emails and stuff, and it's not helping. So it's been almost a week, and I really need to watch dog videos, and I'm very upset.
Yeah. What would you say your algorithm consisted of?
My algorithm is dogs, people falling, pop culture. That's it.
Love. Oh, well, I mean, what more could one need?
Yeah. I have most stuff, like, anything to do with me or, like, Broadway is muted.
You get enough of it.
People falling, like, tripping and falling can be the funniest thing on the entire planet.
The best. Oh, and I have a lot of Muppets and Sesame Street, Star Wars stuff, but yeah.
Oh my God, you have such a varied set of interests. I love it so much.
I know, because I'm a big old nerd and also a child.
You keep that inner child alive. Another RuPaul quality, I have to say.
Oh my goodness. Which Star Wars film is your favorite?
The first one that I saw as a kid was Return of the Jedi. And then I was little and I just loved it so much. And then never played with Barbies. It was always Star Wars. So then after I went back. So Return of the Jedi for me is like the nostalgic favorite. My favorite is Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
But when I met my husband, he's a big old nerd. We had stormtroopers at our like very formal wedding. We're very big fans. But Return of the Jedi is like my childhood one.
Yeah, that's so fair. Randomly love Phantom Menace, even though a lot of people, it's like people think it's their worst, but it was like the first one I saw in theaters. So, you know.
First one you saw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a nostalgia thing.
Totally.
You know?
Did you get into like Baby Yoda and Mandalorian? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a crystal Grogu right there that I'm looking at. Yeah. I got into it. I've watched every single show, every single like animated show. I'm one of those people. So I go to the conventions. Like it's a thing.
Oh,
have you ever done like a Princess Leia cosplay?
I have. I don't cosplay a lot because there are people that are so good at it.
Yeah.
And I love to, and I have friends that do it. They're amazing. No, I had a Hoth Princess Leia outfit that I wore to one of the like, you know, like midnight showings of something, but I don't usually dress up. And my husband has stormtrooper armor, but we don't really dress up. We like to go to the conventions and see like the amazing stuff that people put together. It's unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, I know. You're so fun. I love it so much. I feel like I remembered hearing a story about your wedding having elements of Star Wars in it.
Yeah, my mother was not happy. It was like a giant Italian wedding, like super fancy, formal. And we hired these stormtroopers to come in. Like my husband walked down the aisle to a string quartet playing like the Imperial March. And we had like fancy aspects, but then the stormtroopers came in to the reception, and then we cut our cake with lightsabers. And my mother was like, "My wedding is ruined. My beautiful wedding is ruined." And there's a picture of her with the stormtroopers, like,
"That's so funny." Oh, I love it. How did you meet your husband?
At a wedding.
Oh,
at a wedding. My childhood best friend married one of his friends, and we had met before, but he had like long hair at the time, and I wasn't into it. And he had a no actress policy, because he's not in the business. And he was like, actresses are crazy. And then we met and he was like, "You're a little less crazy than some." I just wore him down. I wore him down, and he had cut his hair by then. So it was cute. And as soon as we were like, "Oh, we're Star Wars fans and Harry Potter fans," like it was done deal.
How long ago was that?
We've been together 18 years.
Oh my gosh. Congrats. My God.
Isn't that crazy? And a lot of that has been spent in separate countries or on separate coasts. So that's our secret. Like COVID happened and I was like, "Oh no, we're stuck together."
Well, I feel like is Cheryl Lee Ralph recently said that like the success is
we like the exact same thing. Yeah. Exactly. And I know quite a few people. Judith Light has the same, like all these women that I look up to and that have been married for an uber long time. Like I'm like, that is the key. That's the key. Cause then you really miss them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's in California now and it's the best. It's really the best.
Oh my gosh. My fiance and I did long distance for 5 years and it's like the reuniting was always very fun and it kept it really fresh, you know?
Yeah. You just don't get sick of each other.
Right. Right.
And New York, LA is far, but London, LA was really far. And we did that for a few years. So that was super far, but it's great. And now, you know, I can just FaceTime him all the time. It's like seeing him. Yeah.
Has he been able to see Gypsy?
Yeah. He was there opening night and he, you know, he loves theater, but that's not what he does. And he's very much like a dude, like a sports dude. So he's kind of like, "Which character are you doing? Are you doing like the bimbo or are you doing like the slutty one?" And I was like, kind of a combo. He's like, "You have the funny voice." I'm like, yeah. So he knew what to expect.
Aww.
He loved it. He loved it. He thought it was hysterical and he loved it. He usually loves all the stuff that I'm in. But sometimes, you know, he's like, "Oh, didn't like you have to make out with some guy, but okay."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Honey, nothing to worry about there."
Right.
They're not into me at all.
Right.
Now, you were fantastic as Tessie Tura in Gypsy. I mean, is it crazy to say you were born for this role? Like, how do you respond to hearing that?
I love it. I had done Gypsy like as a kid, had played like the Junes and Louise. And so, but I always loved Tessie. She's my favorite because she has like such a great arc. And like, I love her and have since I was a kid. So the second this was announced, I like hounded my agents. I was like, "I have to be Tessie. I have to be Tessie." And they were like, "Okay, calm down." And so then once I got an audition, I was in LA. So I had to send in a tape and I was like, "It's freaking George Wolfe, who's a legend." And I was like, "I got to take a big swing." Otherwise, because I knew he didn't want the same old thing. So I took a big swing and luckily it paid off. No, I love her so much. I think she's just like heart of gold, that one, and would cut you in a second. Absolutely.
You've obviously been in dressing rooms backstage, you know, you mentioned as a kid and stuff like that. Is she based on people you've been around or did you kind of have like a different route?
I mean, I loved growing up with like these broads, these women that don't really exist that much anymore. Like, I was such a, you know, growing up, I was like Cheetah and like BB, like all these women that I idolized. I feel like all have elements of my Tessie. It's these just like broads who are like, don't mess with them, but they're also like, we'll help you out in a second. You know, I they're just like good. It's these tough broads that I love that I feel like I inherently have a little bit of just because I'm very Italian. So yeah, I think all of them are kind of mixed in to Tessie. I love her so much. I think she's just like interesting and very into her art. Quotations for art. And you know, she was a ballerina, so she right. You know, my fault that she's on point hoops. That was awful.
I was gonna say, you on point. It's there's so many like sight gag. I mean, it's just such a great fully fleshed out character.
That was a dumb, yeah, that was a bad self-tape decision. I did the
I was gonna say point. Like how much remained?
Yeah, so much of that big swing and great, but also like, oh, I didn't really think it through. I hadn't been on point in a while. I had like trained my whole life, but just hadn't been on point in a while. Cause why would I? Dusted them off in my closet, kicked my husband out of the office. And he was like, what are you doing? You're going to break your ankles. I was like, eh, it's fine. Did the whole thing on point shoes and then send in the tape. And then when I was rehearsing for nine, they were like, George wants to meet you. I was like, huh? They're like, he just wants to meet you and talk to you. And I was like, okay. Cause he just won't hire anybody that he hasn't met and make sure that we're not like cuckoo more than normal. And when I got there, he was like, the point shoes are happening. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, that was it. That was all from that tape. Yeah, like we worked on different stuff. My tape was, I was pretty close, pretty close. George let me like keep a lot of this stuff and things that he wanted, we just kind of worked in. And but yeah, it was definitely a go big or go home moment, and luckily it worked.
It paid off. Oh, thank goodness. I mean, everyone I talk to about this revival, I mean, there's so many things to love. There's something for everybody, but everyone mentions you as just being one of their favorite aspects. What I love about it is that you're not introduced until the second act. And so it's this unexpected whirlwind that keeps the plot going forward. And then it's like a familiar, comforting presence just to see someone who we all love. I mean, everyone loves you, Leslie. So it's just perfect. It's perfection.
I mean, best and easiest job on Broadway. I get to sit there for an hour and a half and listen to these geniuses, like just Dr. McDonald every night. I'm like, I can't take it. And then, you know, just everybody, we're so proud of it. And then I get to go on and with butterflies, and that's that number, we're having a blast. The three of us have the best time. It's like a built-in, you know, crowd pleaser. Mm-hmm. And it's just the best job. It's the best, really. I got very lucky.
Oh, God, it's such a treat for the audience. This was our first time ever seeing Gypsy on stage. And I think for a lot of theater people, we all, you know, maybe we got into it during like the Bernadette or the Patty, and now we're finally getting to see it on Broadway as we're grown adults. And it's such a treat. What an incredible musical. It is just beyond. Oh,
it's perfect. So good. It's always been one of my favorites. It's so good. And this one is so different. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. I like when people haven't seen it before, because I'm like, oh, this is a great one to see. It's so different. And just because of Audra alone, like I'm like, need to see it. So, I love.
Yeah.
We're very proud.
Just fantastic. So what are you doing during act one? Are you arriving on time or like right before the show starts? Like run us through your evening.
We're there at half hour. We have to be there at half hour. And at first I was like, oh, you know, I wish we could be there right when it starts. But we get there and I'm very early anyway. Like I'm usually the first one at the theater for all shows. So even this, I'm kind of one of the first ones there, even though I don't go on for like another 3 hours. I just like to like be there and I'll kind of do whatever. I'll either read, or I'm normally on my Nintendo Switch. I'm usually playing games. Sometimes I'll be working if I'm writing something, or like, you know, I'll actually do important things. But most of the time I'm on my Nintendo, and it goes by so fast. It goes by so quickly. We're like, oh my gosh, then I got to get ready. But yeah, most of my stuff from intermission, like I don't start warming up until intermission and getting ready. So it's truly like, I'm not bored. It goes by really fast. But it is a weird thing to have to kind of sit there and then get going. Mm-hmm. It's almost more tiring than having to be in an entire show, because it's like you're shot out of a cannon and then it's over. And I'm like, why am I tired? I barely do anything. So it's crazy. But yeah, I'm doing a lot, but a lot of it is on Nintendo a lot. And TikTok, when I had TikTok.
Right. And what are you playing on Switch?
On Switch, right now, I'm trying to get 100% on both Zeldas, which is an insane thing to do, because I could finish the games, but now I'm like, oh, I just went back and tried to get like 100%.
This is Breath of the Wild.
Oh, I mean, come on. Enters the Kingdom. They're both beautiful. I've always been a gamer. I have a PlayStation now. I've like always been a gamer since kid. So it's just kind of when you, and there's a couple of us. There are a couple gamers in there. Andrew Kober has like a streaming like a Steam Deck and he's like playing stuff. So well, there's a bunch of gamers that are going back and forth with stuff.
That's so cute. I could see a Twitch scenario happening for you at
I
some
know.
point.
I should in the first act. Roughly Twitch. With like Matt Doyle, who's like a huge Twitch.
Oh yeah. I love Dani Burstein in the show so much. And I've seen some of your vlogs for this Tessie's time. And the dynamic the two of you have is beautiful. It is so cute.
I love him so much. And there is a moment every night where we're right across from each other in the wings. And I have cocooned myself in my wings. It is right before like I meet him for the first time. And we always have, like a thing that we do across the wings. And I love him so much. And he's so good. And he's like, will break your heart in this. And he's just like a great person. I mean, everybody in this cast, he's just like greatest person. Yeah. So I love him very much. Yeah. He lets me give him a lot of crap and vice versa. I never call him by his name. I'll always be like, hey, Andy, like call him a completely different name every day.
Have you known Audra before working with her on this show?
Just from around. I actually had worked with Will, her husband, a bunch of times in like workshops and things. And so I knew her just from around. We had just met at How You Do, just, you know, random things. And so I was so excited to like finally do a show with her. And she had messaged me after she found out that I got it, but I hadn't been announced. And she was like, really excited. She's just unbelievable. And, you know, for who she is nothing like who you think she would be, like this grand dame of the theater. She like hates that it's called Audra Gypsy. She just wants to be like a normal. She hates taking bows. Like she's that person that's probably would have cringed hearing her bio, you know, like,
yeah.
Like coolest, most down to earth. And I just can't believe what she does sometimes twice a day. It is unbelievable. And in rehearsal, I would just, most of us watch the majority of Rose's Turn every night, I would say.
Wow.
If you're in the front rows or like the front boxes, you'll see a bunch of heads. Like you could see us. It is unbelievable. And every night it's different. And there are nights when I'm on stage with her where I'm like, how is this happening? How am I even in the same show that you're in? But I will say there was one night that I finally broke her and I was never been so proud in my life. Never been so proud. It was very little. She's so good. You can't break her. But I was like, it's my goal. It is my goal to break Audra.
When was it?
When I was talking about my butterfly scratching the hell out of me. I was doing some kind of movement down there and I just saw her like turn. And then before we took our bow, she's like,
oh my
she's
God.
She's really good. She doesn't break.
Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing to hear. And you know what you said about she would have been cringing during her bio. I think that's true because reading her Playbill bio, she doesn't even mention that she's like the most decorated, you know, Tony winning actress and all that. No, so
people I've seen her like literally be like, like she just, it's the greatest thing. She's also a big nerd, Muppet fan, gamer. Like I really just like hit the jackpot with that kind of leading lady. She's fantastic. She's just, and redefines that role.
Yes. And leaves it all on the stage. I mean, it demands to be seen. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, redefines it not only vocally, but just, I have never seen anyone be this kind of Rose. Like she's just, it's unreal. Yeah. It's really a treat. So the first act, a lot of it is spent just like listening to her. I'll go and watch. Sometimes I sneak into the Phantom box to watch.
Sneaky. Yeah, what's it called? Box?
Box five? Is it box five or something?
Yeah.
And I put like a hood on and I can watch like covering my microphone because I don't think that stage management knows this, but I can watch like the first 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
Just to watch her. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So we like to ask all of our guests what got them into the arts, to that piqued your interest. We borrow a ring of keys from Fun Home because we like to think maybe you were just taken completely out of your body when you saw something you identified with and it made you go, oh my God, I love this, need to be a part of this. Do you feel like you had a ring of keys moment at some point?
Yeah. I mean, I started dancing really, really young, but I remember going to see Annie in San Francisco. My mom took me to see Annie. And from what my mother tells me, I legitimately watched The Orphans and I turned to my mom. I was like, I can do that. And then a couple months later, they were auditioning kids for like the San Jose portion of it. And I went and there were like 500 girls. And I was like, sat there. My mom was like, hours. And I had never sung nothing. I was like, easy. And then got it. So I was like literally watching those little girls. I guess I was like 7, 8. But I was like, that's not hard. That was literally it. And then from then on, I was hooked. I have the exact same voice that I did then. Same, just loud, belty. And then after that, I just did a deep dive. And I remember the Gypsy movie was one of the movies that I would watch over and over and over. I loved it. I wanted to be Baby June. Like, that was it. I just remember that movie and I got into all of them. I loved Judy Garland, obviously. And then as I got a little older, it was all about the triple threats. That was it. I was like, I was determined that all of my skills would be equal, that I had to be a triple threat. And that, because there were so many of those women that did that. I was like, that was huge to me. And I remember always being like, I have to work hard on all three of those things. So yeah, it was from baby as a kid. I have no other skills. Like, my family never once thought I would do anything else. Like, they're always like, this was it. I'm the youngest of four and my three other sisters have no interest. Like, I don't know where it came from. But yeah, that was definitely my ring of keys, was seeing that those girls in Annie and being like, oh, they suck.
Well, it's funny you mentioned like the triple threat quality, because I was thinking about your Broadway, specifically your Broadway shows. You've danced in every single one of them too.
Yeah. And like, which I love.
All different kinds of dancing too. It's so cool.
I know. I thought about that the other day. I'm like, my God, I got really lucky. Like, Matilda was like everything. We call that like the kitchen sink number. Yeah. Like, everything was thrown in there. And then I got to tap by myself on a Broadway stage and Dames at Sea was crazy. And then How Your Mom Point Shoes. Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, I also love a park and bark, but I love when I get to kind of use everything, especially because I was so obsessed with it. Like, growing up, I was like, must dance, must sing, must act. Like, it was just kind of ingrained in me that that's what you did. Yeah, like, Cheetah was it. That was like, had to be Cheetah.
Oh, yeah. So you would want to be Velma, not Roxy.
100%.
Yeah.
And I still really want to be Velma. I really want to do it.
I can't believe it hasn't happened. So
really want to do it. Still, I've never done it. I really want to do it. Yeah, no, Roxy. No. It's always Velma.
Who would your Roxy be? Who's your dream?
You know, Ariana DeBose and I wanted to do it forever. And we wanted to do like a True West where we'd switch every other night.
Yeah.
But then, you know, she got famous. So I don't think she really has time anymore. But back in the day, like, I remember talking to her. That would be amazing. I mean, oh God, so many fun Roxys.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned Bianca earlier, and I've been dreaming of different things. Maybe she could be the mama.
Ooh. She'd be amazing, mama.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. No, I'll tell you after this. I'll tell you after we're
done
with.
Okay.
And it was actually Bianca's idea, and I'm like obsessed with it. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well, okay. Going back to that 7-year-old audition for Annie, what did you sing? Do you remember?
Happy birthday.
Oh, a classic.
Classic. I don't remember much about it. My mom remembers everything, that there were just like 500 kids. They all had resumes. And I went with a friend of mine who was on my soccer team. And the director, I guess, was sitting in the holding area. Nobody knew who he was. And I decided I was making fart noises like on a chair. And for some reason, they were like, oh, that's a kid. And that's what we want, versus these girls that had like dresses. And I, you know, I grew up on a cattle ranch. I had like, I was just dirt tomboy. And then I sang happy birthday and I just kept singing and we did the dance and then I ended up getting it, I think, because I was just a normal kid. And when Matilda happened, the amazing Nora Brennan, who's the children's casting director, she told me that they did the same thing. They would send out these ringers into the, you know, lobby or whatever to watch the kids and watch their parents. And Matilda was so great with these kids and making sure that they were kids and that they stayed kids. Like, we weren't allowed to talk to them about the show at all. We just had to be like, how was school? You know, like, yeah. They're so great with these kids and they didn't go to stage door or whatever. They were just kids. And so I think that quality is probably what got me started. And I see it in a lot of kids now, because it is like, it's a weird business to go into as a kid, whether it's community theater or Broadway, it's it's a strange thing, you know, it's, you want it to be fun and not a job. And to me, it was always fun. And my parents wanted me to stay in school and like be a cheerleader and do all, you know, do all the stuff and not go pro. And I remember, you know, being like, no, I want to be on like the Disney Channel, you know, and they just like, no, I'm really glad. I'm really glad they did. Cause you gotta be a kid, you know, and have fun. I don't know. I mean, it's 8 shows a week as a kid. I'm like, oof.
That's brutal.
But I remember like some of the Matildas would be like, I just wanted to go to the water park, but I have to do Broadway. Like, please never lose that. Never.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'd be like, same. Absolutely same.
Yeah. They're probably all grown women now at this point.
They are. And I still keep in touch on social media. And some of them I still like text and talk to. Like, not only just Matildas, but all the kids. They're all grown. I'm so proud of the ones that aren't in the business anymore that went to college that are writers or, you know, but then the ones that are in the business are killing it. And it's, they've just become like incredible people. I'm not a child fan. I don't want children. Like, I'm not, don't show me pictures of your baby. I don't care. And it was amazing to me, like how much I loved these kids because they were just so special. And the kids in Gypsy are great too. They're really smart kids. And so I love seeing what they're up to. Yeah, they're adults. They're adults now, which is great.
That's why I know like Annalise Carpacci, we had her in our show a couple years ago and she loves you so much.
I'm singing in her cabaret like a week from next Monday or something, like in a couple of weeks. We're doing a song from The Rink. So yeah. Cheetah. And I know.
So that's special. Fun.
Yeah, she's a little Italian too. Yeah. I have just loved watching her just like bloom, and I remember seeing her in Mrs. Doubtfire and I was just like weeping.
Oh yeah, I mean her voice is just astounding.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, so I love seeing them just like tackle new things and the directions their lives have gone. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean you were astounding in Matilda, another absolutely brilliant, memorable, amazing Broadway show that I'm sure for so many people it was their first Broadway show, you know, which is always an exciting moment.
And at the stage door, because like the vlog that I did for that, people loved that one so much. And so at the stage where they're like, when I was a child, I watched, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting, how old am I? But it's 10 years. So to somebody that was 14, jumped now to 24 is like a lifetime. But for me, I'm like 10 years is nothing. So it's crazy that people are like, oh, I've loved you since childhood. I'm like, oh God, I'm not that old.
I mean, you do look exactly the same, Leslie, for what it's worth, but.
Thank you. But like, you know, when you're an adult, it's just not that long. But yeah, the amount of people that come up to me at the stage where I love it. I love it. They're like, that was my first Broadway show. And it's such a good first Broadway show to see. I love that show with all my heart. And it just, yeah, I think is one of the most incredible pieces of theater. I wish it had lasted longer here. I wish Americans kind of got it.
I know. I wish they would have gotten it. Even like the movie that came out a couple years ago. Like that was great too.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That movie is brilliant. And yeah, it's just, you know, cultural thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we even tried changing words to more American sounding. They tried taking the kids' accents out, but it, you know, at some point you just have to be like, it is what it is. And it's a very smart show. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. And that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. When developing that, did it open cold on Broadway? Like it was like a transfer, so to speak, but it was just an American cast.
Yeah. They had done it in London, and that's how I heard about it, is because they had seen me do my show in London, the creative team, and I hadn't done a Broadway show at that point. I had gotten so close and like wasn't hired. And then friends of mine, because I left right before it opened, and friends of mine were like, this show just opened and there's a role that you have to do. Heard Loud, and I was like, I have to do this. And I was like, but I've never been on Broadway. So I fought for that. I flew out to New York so many times and just really, again, lucked out. So that had existed. But then when they brought it to New York, they didn't want anything that was exactly the same. The sets and the costumes are the same. And obviously like the music, but they really let us put our own stamp on things. If there were things we wanted to change, they were totally into it. I was like, I need pink sparkle shoes. And the costume was like, sure, right. You're just dumb stuff that we wanted. And they really, like, I know my choreography is totally different. And so people that had seen it, and like even cast members that came over to see it were like, this is totally different. Like, wow. Some things are the same, like the bones are the same, but things are different. So I love that they let it just kind of live so that it wasn't just a put in, you know, mm-hmm. It was like our own version. Yeah. So we had a month of previews and we changed things and a lot of different lyrics, you know, just because of cultural differences and a lot of choreography changes and things that they wanted to change from London. They made changes here and then implemented them in London. Oh. So it was cool for them, I think, to get to kind of like have another crack at it and change little things that they had wanted to.
That's so fascinating.
How cool. Well, speaking of London, Dylan and I are huge Anglophiles. Like, we're obsessed with the West End theater scene in general. I think they just have like a little more fun over there sometimes, you know?
Listen, it is the best. They don't care about awards or the it's just like, it's not as bitchy. It's just like my band, my orchestra would go to the pub at intermission. Like, it's just, and you would think these are the people who take it so seriously and like the RSC, and everybody does everything over there. Like, you're not too big to do a musical, or my dressing room, I would see Ian McKellen in the next building and be like, it's crazy. It's just a little more laid back. And that is not what I thought. I thought it was going to be so serious. No, it was a blast. They love it. And when I said like the awards, like here's, there's like campaigning for nominations and awards, which was a shock to me. There, they're like, awards, is there an open bar? Great. And that was the most fun. I would go back in a heartbeat. And I love it there. They were just so kind to me. I was the only American in that company and they were so kind to me. And it was just, yeah, it's just a different culture. And, you know, they do take their art very seriously, but they also know it's just theater and it's just a musical. And, you know, a lot of those musicals, and Zorro was no different. Zorro was so beloved there. And Americans that would come over and see it be like, it's not arty enough. And I'm like, it's not supposed to be. And not everything has to be. It's guy in a mask with a sword. Like, and so they just don't take themselves seriously. And so there are a lot of shows over there that people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they made a musical out of this. I'm like, but they're having a blast watching.
Yeah, it's been running for years.
You can also see Richard the 25th if you want to see it. But then also go see Dirty Dancing. You know what I mean? Like, I just loved that it was everything over there. And I feel like the economy here doesn't support that. The audiences on Broadway don't really support that. There hasn't been quite enough room for the serious art. I call it art, fine art, fart. It's okay to do a musical that's just fun and makes people happy. It is okay. And there's people now, you know, on, I don't even know if there's message boards still, but like on TikToks and things that are like, they're making this. Right. I'm like, then don't see it. Mm-hmm. Just don't go see it. That's fine. But some people would want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, case in point, like the idea of the pantos over there not being something that would work.
Oh my
here,
God.
You know?
Yeah. They are so dumb and so fun. Like,
did you do one ever?
No. I never love to go back and do one.
Yeah. We need you.
I went to go see some because they do like 12 shows a day. So like I would see a morning.
That's how we squeezed one in. We actually saw Ian McKellen in one. Mother Goose. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, so like it's beyond.
These legends that are like, I just want to put a dress on and like be a baddie. You know, it's so fun.
Oh my God. And the audience was incredible. It was like drunk adult. Everyone is just drinking at 11 a.m. enjoying before their Sunday roast, you know, watching the panto. And the kids are just like, living. It's amazing. Living.
Yeah. I love, love, love it. I think the audiences there are completely opposite of what I thought. They were just raucous and just really had fun. And so I had done that obviously before Broadway, and I luckily had an all Brit team. So the feeling was kind of the same, but then the Broadway businessy part of it was a big shock to me. Cause I was like, this is so different. And it was just a different feeling, and not, you know, not always in a bad way, but they're just more forgiving over there. And there's just a little more room for things. You know, I applaud anyone who gets a show onto Broadway, no matter how long it lasts or what the reception is, because to get a show on Broadway is unbelievable. I mean, Zorro tried and it just, it's just crazy. Like, it is a huge feat to have anything produced on Broadway or off Broadway.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, good on you. Even if you closed after 3 weeks, good on you, because it's so hard. It's so hard. And just, you know, people condemn things before they even open. And it's a bummer.
I know.
And previews aren't previews. George Wolf is notorious for using previews to that's rehearsal. So we had people at our first preview that were already posting on TikTok. I'm like, this is not a done, you paying preview prices because we're still in process.
Yeah.
And it's a different show. It's just a different show. And so that's always a bummer. I mean, that's part of, I guess, like now social media and stuff. And, but definitely loved London for that reason, that they're just, it was really fun, really fun.
Well, we'll look forward to you getting back over there eventually.
I
obviously,
know.
Gypsy's going to keep running and you're going to be a Gypsy and it's going to be amazing. And,
of course.
I can't wait.
Wait, speaking of shows, sadly, short-lived, Dames at Sea, but that was the show where you tap danced alone on stage, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Yeah. I wish I could have seen it.
I loved Dames at Sea. I'm sure there's a bootleg.
Okay.
loved Dames at Sea so much. It was the most fun we've ever had. But it was the year of Hamilton and we were like six white people tap dancing on a boat. And it was just not, when I say like, there isn't room,
yeah.
Like there really isn't. There's on Broadway, this kind of like one thing that like is a thing and everything else is kind of, eh. And so we really felt it because Hamilton was such a big sensation. It was a bummer because Dames at Sea was so funny and so different from, I mean, it was not a political statement. It was just us being stupid for an hour and a half. And I loved it so much and have gone back to do it for Randy Skinner. Then he's kind of like reworked it. I just love the show so much. And I don't think I've ever had more fun on stage because that role is nuts. Yeah, it was a huge thing. Like I to open the show and I'm tap dancing by myself was like, was me as a kid being like, I just want to tap dance on Broadway. I remember being like, this is it. This is it. And it just didn't, everyone who saw it loved it. It just didn't, you know, again, it's like money. You got to make the money. Just didn't.
Yeah. That's such a bummer. I'm thinking now all of a sudden you've exclusively worked on 44th Street in your Broadway shows too.
This is only my third Broadway show. And so it's like literally all on the same block.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed when I found out that it was going to be at the Majestic. I was like, you're joking. I don't go anywhere else.
What are some of your favorite highlights from your professional career that we haven't discussed yet that are, you know, the non-Broadways, then maybe even non-Zorro that you just look back on and you smile and you're so proud of?
Oh my gosh. I did one of the first regional productions of Hunchback of Notre Dame in at the Sacramento Music Circus. And it was a complete redo. And I got to do Esmeralda because the director, Glenn Cassell, is genius, wanted her a little more like Aldonza-y and done that role a million times. And so she was a little older. She was a little tougher. And our Quasimodo was a deaf actor, John McGinty, who was unbelievable. And Jim Hogan,
he's so good,
did the voice. And it was, there was no set. It was in the round. It was the most special experience I've ever had on a stage, ever, ever, ever. I don't think anything will compete with that. And I always tell people, I'm like, regional theater is my favorite because they can take big swings. As we know, I'm a big fan of big swings because they're limited runs. They have a built-in audience, subscribers. So you can take something and deconstruct it and be like, I'd like to do this way. And it's not like, you know, it's not criticized or it's not going to make or break a season of something. So I love doing regional theater and have done the coolest versions of shows in regional theaters. I will go anywhere, especially roles that I love doing because everyone is so different. Every production is so different. But that was definitely my favorite. And I like doing dramas because it's so much easier than comedy. It really is. And everyone always thinks like, oh, you just go on and do what you do on stage. I'm like, no, every bit that I have has been worked out. Like it's timed out. I'm so anal about my timing and work so hard on it. So I'm glad that it looks easy, but drama is just so much easier. I can just sit there and sing and just like, it's almost like a vacation for me. Or like doing shows like Homeland. I'm like, it's a vacation. Comedy is really, really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just has so much energy.
Well, we're grateful for it. So thank you. You've given us so much, Leslie, and we could keep talking to you forever, obviously, but we have to sadly wrap up. Before we say goodbye, I know the tears. We like to end with a dose of drama. This is that little piece of pop culture, behind the scenes tidbit that's on your mind that you're just dying to leave the listeners with before we end our little chat today. And I'll start out with mine first. One of my favorite reality shows, Summer House on Bravo, is finally back. This is season 9. It's crazy to me that this show has lasted 9 seasons, considering I gave up after season 1 and then came back for season 3. But it just brings me so much joy to see these kids just working hard in the city during the week and partying harder on the weekends in the Hamptons. And they're all family to me. And I'm just so happy. And everyone needs to check out Summer House. You could really jump in at the beginning of any season and love it no matter what. But if you really want to go back, start with season 3. Anyway, that's my dose of drama. Dylan, do you want to do your dose next?
Gosh, I'm between two. Part of me wanted to talk about how Leslie was in 9. I've been working in a local production of 9 a little bit. And then I just don't want to talk about the Kennedy Center. It's basically, I don't want to go there right now. I don't want to do that today. So I want to talk about a TV recommendation that I have.
Okay.
It's on Apple TV Plus. When Marissa Jarrett Winoker came on, she suggested this to you and I, Connor. She said Bad Sisters on Apple TV. It is so good. I watched it. It was like my whole vibe for a week and a half. I wanted to drink tea. It was just everything. It's Irish sisters who are, they're bad. I just have to say it. They're bad.
I was going to ask you, are the sisters bad?
They are, but they're protective and fiercely strong. And it is so good. It's 2 seasons. I don't think there'll be any more.
Really?
It's so good. I really recommend it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it wrapped up nicely, but anyways,
Apple TV has those original programs. I think it's because they don't have the IP of the other. Yeah. So they really can take the big swings, to borrow a phrase from our friend.
They can take the big swings. I'm a pop culture girly, obsessed. I know everything pop culture. I'm the person people come to. So I'm obsessed right now with the Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively, the drama. That is the drama. And sadly, because I'm locked out of my TikTok, I feel just so disconnected from my people. I'm obsessed with that. Anything pop culture, I'm obsessed with celebrity gossip. Yeah. Obsessed.
Dumois type thing.
Love Dumois. Yeah. Know it all. So that's kind of my thing. Watching TV wise, I mean, I watch a lot of documentaries about I just watched the Milli Vanilli one, which is incredible. It's incredible. So I watch a lot of those like pop culture documentaries. Yeah, no, I am that girl. If I could, if I had another career, I would just write about pop culture.
Oh my God. I feel like we need you on Twitch talking about the Baldoni Lively scam. I mean
listen,
this is wild. I wonder if it's going to go to a courtroom that we can all watch, kind of like Gwyneth on the ski trial. You know what I mean? Are we going to be able to watch this?
100%. Oh God. And the Johnny Depp one, I was so sad finished, because I was like, well, now what am I going to watch? So yeah, I absolutely think it will go to court. I'm obsessed. Yeah. There's a guy on TikTok who is Blake Lively. Have you seen this guy?
No.
I'm obsessed with that. I'm really obsessed with that right now. So I'm very anxious to get back into my TikTok, because I don't know who I'm going to talk to this about.
Yeah. I have a feeling you'll get back in, and then you'll be our correspondent, because it's necessary.
If I could be a pop culture correspondent, that would be my dream.
Have you ever done red carpets at the Tonys or any
No, theater? No. And theater, I don't think I'd be good at. Okay. I don't know shows. Pop culture, I know.
Yeah.
Nerdy stuff, I know. But like Broadway Con, I would always do name that tune, and they'd play something. And I'd be like, I just don't know. I know I should be better about that and be... listen to more things. I love watching shows, but I'm also I love everything that I see. I'm not arty, and I'm not critical. So everything's kind of a wash for me. I'm like, loved it. Great. Loved it. Mm-hmm. So I don't really things don't stick with me. Pop culture though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could do red carpet on Golden Globes.
Yes.
Although I probably wouldn't be good, because I just want the tea on everything. I'd be really annoying.
Oh, are you living for this Amelia Perez, all of this scandal with the Oscar race?
It's wild. I keep saying I love everything. I've never hated anything more than that film. Never. And so when that came out, I was like, I wish nothing but ick on her. And that was those tweets were horrific. And you should get your nomination taken away. So that's my drama. But I literally have never hated anything more, and I don't hate it.
I know that Connor and I, we always find something good too. And it's like, finally a musical, you know, getting all this press. I'm just like, I'd rather it not, you know, like we also have Wicked right there. So
I'd rather it not. It was completely offensive. Like, to like every trans person, I was like, this is so offensive and so gross. So I was so, cause I freaking loved Wicked. And like, I was like, how dare you take any nominations away from Wicked?
Right.
I was already a Wicked fan. And the movie I loved so much. So I was just angry that that got so much traction that. Ugh.
I know it doesn't make sense because I don't really know anyone who's liked it. So it's really weird.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Leslie, you are a dream. This was so much fun. Thank you for all
I love. I could talk to you guys forever.
Aww. I know. Well, listen, everyone needs to check you out in Gypsy. There's also, I keep telling people, apparently you can walk up to the box office and ask for a rush seat if it's anything unsold.
Yes.
Got to see Gypsy. Pay the price, though, regardless, because it is so worth it. It truly demands to be seen, especially your performance as Tessie Tura.
Yeah, go to the box office, because especially now, like February, March, there are always like rando seats. People don't come in because of weather or whatever. So like, go to the box office. They're really great there. And I know people that have spent like $40 and been like center orchestra. So
you never know. Yeah,
ugh.
It's worth it.
Incredible.
Thank you so much. And of course, everyone already does follow you because you're such a strong presence online, but you're at Queen Leslie on Instagram, right?
Yes. And on TikTok.
Right. And we'll be awaiting the day you're back with a vengeance.
Really, like my heart is hurting that I can't watch TikTok.
It's hilarious how it's like a running theme through the whole thing.
Okay. And then while everyone's following Leslie, they got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Leslie. Total dream guest, total dream chat. Thank you. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.